PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of the program of The Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. As always, yes, it is an ultimate pleasure to be here with you. It may not be a pleasure for you to be here with me. You might be thinking, oh, not him again. But it doesn't matter. Well, it does. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Nice to actually have you with us today. We're going to be laughing today. Yes, we are going to be laughing today. And I will explain to you in a little moment what I mean by that. But let's first begin with our first song today. And then I will tell you why we're going to be laughing today a little bit. Helen Shapiro, who was actually a guest on the program a few years ago, well-known British pop singer of the 1960s. This is one of her big hits, I Don't Care, Helen Shapiro. Wonderful Helen Shapiro and I Don't Care, beginning today's edition of Happy Station for the 22nd of April, 2018. Now, next week on the program is another one in our continuing series of our special Happy Station shows that will be leading up to our anniversary extravaganza in the month of November. So next week, the 29th of April, our fourth Happy Station anniversary program for our 90th anniversary, which is actually coming up in November. But as you're probably aware, if you've been listening, For the past, well, a few months anyway, we've been doing one, excuse me, my voice is a little funny today. We've been doing a number of Happy Station specials leading up to that. So that's actually on next week's program. Now, I said to you, today we're going to make you laugh. Those who listen to this program on a regular basis will probably know that I am a big comedy fan. A few times, we have played some comedy recordings. One of the most famous ones that we have played on the program before that people really enjoyed was selections from You Don't Have to Be Jewish and the follow-up album that was done not too long after. A number of you have been writing in saying, well, it'd be nice actually if you could maybe feature some more of these wonderful comedy recordings. So that's what we are going to do today. Not on the full show, but at least to begin things today. Now, there's actually so much comedy out there. A lot of it, of course, we can't use on the program for obvious reasons, such as language. And I don't mean it's in German or French or Spanish or anything like that. I'm talking about language involving certain words. So, of course, we can't use that, so we have to put that aside. Maybe I can talk about them. Not the words, but the comedians. And then you can actually just look online and you'll see what I mean. But maybe I'll do that, maybe I won't. But I was trying to think, Who would actually really be good to begin with today? And the one that first came to mind is a comedian who's no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. But I consider him he is a comedian who started off in the 1960s doing one thing, but then eventually changed and became more of a commentator on society and how we live our lives. I'm speaking of the wonderfully talented George Carlin. Now, George Carlin, of course, is well known for stand-up and doing social commentary on various subjects. But if you go back to the 1960s and 1970s, there was one theme with many of his sketches or routines, and that actually had to do with the radio and also television. So, for example, a number of his sketches had to do with newsreaders, television commercials, and the media itself. One of the most famous sketches to come out of that period from George Carlin is considered a classic routine. It's George Carlin as a DJ on a typical American-sounding top 40 station from the 1960s these stations went in the 1970s and 80s. You don't hear much of them this kind of format today. But it's George Carlin and wonderful wino, and I don't mean a wino as somebody who drinks a lot of wine, but W-I-N-O is a call sign, so wino. Wonderful wino, George Carlin.
Hi there, kids. Welcome to the Willie West Show here on Wonderful Wino Radio. Wonderful Wino. Welcome to the Willie West Show here on a Wonderful Wednesday with the Weird One. It's been a Willie West winging your way with 101 Wild and Willie Wedges of Wax and Quasi Wagons of Play on the Radio. Right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. 1750 on your dial, just above the police calls, kid. We got stacks and stacks of wax and wax. We got to pick the click, the ones to watch, the oldies but goodies and newies but gooies. We got the top 700 records here in the world. A wonderful wino, wonderful wino. Let's get started with big rockin' sound now. That great new group from England, the Kansas City Boys. Let's hear 'em. My baby's dead. Bling, ding, bling, ding, 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 bling. My baby's dead. Doom. She got hit by a train. Big old train.
I'm gonna get that train.
Here it is, kids, another big romantic ballad for you. And you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. That was by Danny and the Dressmakers, one of the great new groups around. And that's their third million seller this week. Okay, let's move along. Two in a row, a big double play in the Weird Willie West show for you. Another tune here. This one's brand new, hasn't even been released yet. It's number one on the charts this week. Next week, it'll be a golden oldie. Let's hear it.
I sent my sinuses to Arizona. I sent my liver to Peru. I sent my lungs and my kidney for the summer to Sydney. But I'm sending my heart to you.
Another big romantic ballad, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. Bulletin, 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 bulletin.
Here is a bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. The sun did not come up this morning. Huge cracks have appeared in the Earth's surface, and big rocks are falling out of the sky. Details 25 minutes from now on Action Central News.
Another big tune for you, kids. Moving right along with one of the big sounds. This one, we're going to send out some dedications. It's number one this week. Top of the heap, cream of the crop, pick of the pack. Number one and moving higher all the time. Got a few great cool calls in the boss line. We're going to send out some dedications. Big Al, Red, Louie, Spike, Choo Choo, Spanish Anna, Dirty Mary, Nick the Greek, Baby Carlos. Junior, Pee Wee, Toots, Popo, Spot, Greasy, Creep, Woozy, Mush, Ralph and Brucey, hey. And it's our pick to make you sick, Jenny.
Wee. Do, do, do. Bumble, bumble, player to tater to bumble, bumble, player to tater to bumble, bumble, flip, 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 flip,
Jenny. Another big romantic ballad for you, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. In Western Walla Walla. Another big tune. This one's been on the charts for 2.5 years. It's just starting to make the big move this week. Last week it was number 215. This week, zooming up to the big number 212 spot. A folk protest song by Danny and the Demonstrators. Don't want no war.
Don't want no war. Don't want no war. Don't want no war.
Don't want no job, neither.
Another big romantic ballad, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. And speaking of romance, kids, where are you going to be going this weekend with that date of yours? Why not go on out to the Makeout Drive-In Theater? Think you like it out there? No lines, no waiting. There's no movie either, kid. Of course, they've got a great Technicolor Teen Toon Fest for you. A great flick to click out there this week on the 6-year super favorite stars Sandra Dee, Peggy Lee, Brenda Lee, Bobby V, Molly B, and Oscar Homolka in Sex Bed Teen Bikini Virgin Surf Beach Ball Bash. Don't miss it. 117 of your favorite songs included. Okay, kids, that just about wraps it up here on a Weird Willie West show on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll catch you again tomorrow on a thumping Thursday if someone doesn't bomb the station. But in the meantime, we got the old tunes, the new tunes, the show tunes, the blue tunes, the greatest music in town, but we never play it.
Thank you. The wonderful George Carlin and Wonderful Wino, one of his classic sketches. We're now going to cross the pond to the United Kingdom. One of the most popular television sketch comedy shows that ran on BBC through the 1970s and 80s was The Two Ronnies. Now, The Two Ronnies were two comedians even on their own right. They both started on the Foss Report and were made up of Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett. Now, along with their own program, the two Ronnies, they also did a number of television programs themselves. But for the two Ronnies, they were, well, they became sort of like Saturday night watching. And they also had some of the most phenomenal writers that any comedy duo can have. John Cleese, Graham Chapman, Michael Palin. In fact, actually, all of the Pythons at some point or another wrote sketches for the two Ronnies. Now, many of the sketches, of course, are visual, so they don't really work too well on radio. But one aspect of that show actually does. In 1979, BBC Records and Tapes released an LP called Ronnie Corbett, The Monologues. Now, during any two Ronnie show, at some part during the program, usually midway, there would be just a black set with a big chair, and little Ronnie Corbett would be sitting in the chair and tell some kind of joke. Well, the joke actually was not really the funny part, because usually the joke was kind of, not really an exciting joke or anything, but it was actually everything leading up to that joke. Because everybody would be in anticipation, oh, this is going to be a good one, this is going to be a good one. And then you go, that was it already. So, anyway, here is one of those monologues. It's Ronnie Corbett with his monologue and the parrot joke.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine Del Mar. Good heavens, if I thought I could sing like that, I'd have the operation tomorrow. And if my wife is listening, I'm just joking. I have to say that because my wife has just won a do-it-yourself surgery outfit. In her favorite magazine, The Lancet, it is. Or The Outpatients Weekly or something, anyway. She does read a lot of that sort of thing because she does enjoy a lot of ill health. There's nothing she enjoys as much as a bit of ill health. Mind you, when I think about it, and I often do, I suppose it's all something to do with the fact that her family have always been closely connected with the medical profession, you know, either as doctors or patients, you know. And sometimes both. For instance, her father, my wife's father, this is, was in the Army Medical Corps, and he met his end when he fell out of bed. No, I'm not going to embroider on that. My father never liked his end embroidered upon. No. Would you? To each his own, I suppose. No, my wife's father in the Army Medical Corps fell out, met his end when he fell out of bed examining a patient. So that was. And he was court-martialed posthumously, and his ashes were reduced to the ranks. Anyway, about these competitions she's won. I went home the other night. You know how you do things on impulse. She was very excited, you know, the old Lugazade was out. Because apparently, she has won no less than two competitions. She had won the competition called Spot the Gynecologist. And she'd won another competition where you have six pictures of doctors and you have to place them in the order in which they should be struck off. She's really, really thrilled with herself. She's won a prize. She's won an evening out with a male nurse. Who has his end embroidered upon. And two, she has won, have two of your friends certified for Christmas. Poor old Bob and Joyce Larkin are in for a bit of a shock. And, of course, the surgery for beginners outfit. Now, I must say, the surgery outfit looks very impressive. I mean, I don't suppose she could take your leg off or anything, but I bet she could make a nasty mess of your ankle. But that's actually nothing to do with the reason I was asked to come here, you know, and talk tonight. Now, however, hundreds of people every week, you know, write to me. Honestly, hundreds of people write to me. Let's be honest, every week nobody writes to me. To me, a pool scooping is a fan letter. I get letters from my mother addressed to whom it may concern. There is one letter I get every week from a fellow who says, leave £3 in used notes under a flat stone in the middle of Hampstead Heath. And I'm not sure if he's got the negatives. But it's a day out for the kids. But someone did write to ask if I would tell the first joke I ever told professionally. And anyone who suspects that this is a contrived excuse to tell an old joke, this letter can be examined after the show. Over my dead body. But I do happen to remember that it was a joke about a parrot and a conjurer. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, good God, he's not going to tell that old parrot and conjurer joke. Because that is exactly what the producer said. The producer of the show, he said, take my advice, Ducky, he said. Take my advice, Ducky. Perhaps some of you noticed our producer when you came in, did you? The chap with the earphones, you know, and the red dress. Anyway, that needn't worry you. Worries us, but it needn't worry you. He said, take my advice if you know what's good for you. He said, if you must tell old parrot jokes, tell them the favourite one about the old lady and the parrot, which is a story I'd never heard before. And apparently it is about an old lady who lives at the top of this... That's why it's called The Old Lady and the Parrot. Who lives at the top of this tenement block with her parrot. And she's going out one day, you see, and she says to the parrot, now, Polly, she said, Mummy's going to pop down to the shops for a minute. Do-do-do. Pathetic, isn't it? Nothing like an old lady talking to a parrot. Anyway, she said, I'm going down to the shops, and if anyone calls, you must remember to shout out, who is it? Who is it? Thus giving the impression that the place is occupied, so that it will not be turned over by the local ne'er-do-wells in my absence. Now, be a good parrot. If you're a good parrot, I'll get you some nice polyfiller. So off she goes, silly old fool, and who should knock at the door? Who should knock at the door but the insurance man? And the parrot says, who is it? And he shouts through the letterbox, it's the insurance man. And the parrot says, who is it? He says, it's the insurance man. And they go on like this for a time until frustration and excitement, coupled with a long walk up the stairs, which I forgot to mention, is too much for the poor insurance man, and he collapses on the ground. And he's still there when the old lady comes back, you know. And she looks down at him lying there and she says, who is it? And the parrot from inside shouts, it's the insurance man!
Yes, the wonderful Ronnie Corbett with one of his monologues from his long-running series with his friend Ronnie Barker, The Two Ronnies. We're now going to recross the Atlantic. And we're going to play something by, well, two comedians who were more known for their silent films and the few sound films that they made. They were comedians that, well, even though they did perform occasionally on stage, they never really made it into radio. Now, in the 1930s and 1940s, there were some well-known radio comedians, such as Jack Benny, who eventually made the switch over to television, Red Skelton, Sid Caesar, and many others. But this is a comedy duo that, sadly, never made the crossover from silent films to sound films, were fine. But then to radio, well, it was never successful. And they only ever ended up doing one pilot show, most of which is lost, but there is one sketch from it, actually, that has survived all these years. Laurel and Hardy. Now, some of you may be thinking that I was going to say Abbott and Costello. Well, Abbott and Costello did start in radio and eventually also made their way into television as well. But Laurel and Hardy never really broke into the medium of radio, except for this one sketch that has survived today, which is one of their most famous radio sketches because it's, well, the only one. It's called The Marriage of Stan Laurel.
Well, Well, the justice of the peace lives right up here, Stanley. Just think, in a few minutes, you and Patsy will be one.
One what?
One husband and one wife.
Well, that makes two.
Oh, shut up.
Will you two can that chatter? I want to get this wedding over with.
Do you feel all right, sweetheart?
Uh-huh. I certainly do. I feel fine.
Not you, Patsy. Now, come on and let's go. Ouch, my foot. Will you watch where you're going?
Well, I can't see a thing with this veil on. You can't see a thing.
You don't wear the veil. The bride wears it. Here, put it on, Patsy.
Thank you, Ollie.
Did you get her some orange blossoms for her hair like I told you to?
Well, I couldn't find the orange blossoms, so I got some oranges instead.
Yeah, real oranges, look.
Oh, so that's what's hanging in front of your eyes.
Uh-huh.
How do you keep them there?
She's got bags for them, I do.
Well, you keep still. Now let's go in.
Ollie.
What?
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Well, I'm going to marry Patsy. We've only been going steady for 12 years, and you know how it is.
Now, don't be nervous. Take a little shot of this.
What is it?
16-year-old prune punch. It'll bolster your right up. Here.
Thank you, Ollie. Oh, boy, that's good. Thank you, Ollie. Here's the bottle.
Well, where's the cork?
What cork?
The cork that was in the bottle.
Oh, I thought that was a prune pit, and I swallowed it.
Oh, say, will you please ring the bell and stop wasting my time?
Okay.
Ring it louder. We've got to wake the justice up.
What's the matter? Is he dead or something?
Here, I'll ring it. That's the way to do it. Oh!
What happened?
What's going on here? What's all the racket?
We'd like to get married if it's not too much trouble.
Not too much trouble? Getting that guy up at this hour of the night?
What are you squawking about? We're up.
The cork's up, too.
Now I can take my finger out of this bottle.
Well, as long as I'm up, come on in. Well, are you coming in or not?
Oh, yes,
sure,
yes.
We'll be right
we're
here.
Coming in, yeah.
Sure.
Now, which is which here?
Well, this is she, and that's it.
My goodness, young lady, where did you get that veil you're wearing?
From my father.
He keeps bees, Judge.
Young man, you're very fortunate to have a girl like this. My dear, you have lovely orange eyes.
Thank you, Judge. Have one?
No, thanks.
I'll have one, if you don't mind.
You can eat later.
Now, miss, I'll have to fill out the certificate. What's your name, please?
Patsy Moran.
What?
Moran. M-O-R-O-N. Oh!
What's that for? Now, you keep out of this. And now, what's your name?
My name? Laurel. But call me Stanley for short.
And where were you born?
Bridge, Minnesota.
Bridge, right. Minnesota?
Yeah. On the bridge, right between St. Paul and Minneapolis. You know, I'll never forget that morning. All the cars that were coming around, and there was trucks coming...
Will you keep quiet?
All right, now stand here before me.
Excuse me.
Well, let's go. I want to get back to bed. Now, young lady, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And you, Stanley for short, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I've taken a dislike to her.
You've taken a dislike to her?
Yep.
Oh!
Catch her, Judge. She's fainted.
Yeah, quick, get her some brandy.
I haven't got any brandy.
A beer will do.
You're a fine judge. No brandy.
Just a minute. Did you or did you not wake me up out of a sound sleep to marry you?
I don't remember.
And now you stand there and say you don't want to go through with it?
Well, I'm sorry I changed my mind. I couldn't help it.
Why, you little... I'm going to take
Stanley
you...
Come on, Stanley and Patson. Let's get out of here.
All right. Oh, Stanley, you brute.
I can't help it, Patsy. I just...
Stanley.
What, Ollie?
You came out here to get married, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You took poor little Patsy away from her mother, her home.
Yes, I know, but...
You stand her up at the altar. Only a cad would do that.
I'm sorry, Ollie.
Now, we're going back in there, and you're going to behave yourself.
Ollie.
What?
Give me another shot. Will you?
Here.
Thanks, Ollie. Oh, boy, that's good. Thank you.
Now kiss and make up. Oh, not me, Patsy.
Oh, so it's you. Oh, so it's you again, eh?
Now everything's all straightened out. Everything's all straight now, Judge. I've talked to Stanley.
Well, it better be. Come in. Now, stand before me. Young man, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Fine. Now, young woman, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I should say not.
Why not?
I've taken a dislike to him.
Well, can you beat that?
Why, you two little whippersnappers, I'll take the both of you and wring your neck.
Come on, let's get out of here. This is another fine mess you've got me into. Now look, Patsy, you came out here to get married, didn't you?
Sure.
You took poor little Stanley away from me. You broke up my home. You brought him all the way here to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
And when you get here, you leave him standing at the altar. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now kiss and make up. Oh. Not me, Stanley. Now, come on and let's go in.
Ollie.
What?
How about another shot?
Not now.
Make it two.
Wait till after you're married.
Surprise?
Surprise? Why, you...
Calm down, Judge. Now, everything is all set.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yep.
Then step right in, folks.
Thank you, Judge.
Now, stand before me. Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Then I won't marry you!
Why not?
Because I've taken a dislike to the whole bunch of you.
But, Judge!
Get out of here!
Well, it looks like back to the laundry for me.
Ollie, how about that shot you promised me? Remember?
I'm glad you reminded me. Here it is.
The Marriage of Stan Laurel, Laurel and Hardy, from a very rare radio sketch that they did back in the 1940s that was supposed to have led to a full series, but actually never did. Let's now head to the Music Hall. Yes, the British Music Hall once again, with a song laden with double entendre, The Marrow Song.
Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried, "Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 foot long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and so nice and round and fat. I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. He was leaning on the garden gate the other day and beckoned to a lady who lives across the way. Took her down the garden path and showed it her with pride. And when she saw the size of it, the little lady said, "Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 foot long or even more. With such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat, I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. I mean me marrow. I've never seen one as big as that before."
Yes, the Marrow Song with the wonderful Kenneth Williams from the BBC radio series Round the Horn that starred Kenneth Horn. Now we're going to stay on Round the Horn for a little bit longer. Kenneth Williams was, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best British comedic actors ever. He started in many of the Carry On films and appeared on a number of radio programs and chat programs in the 70s and 80s. Until his death. And two characters that were created for this series, Round the Horn, which was written by Barry Cryer and the late Marty Feldman, were the two characters of Julian and Sandy, two chorus boys who would appear with Round the Horn, with Kenneth Horn, during his program. Now, the thing, though, is that at the time, the funny thing is, because of the kind of humor that they were doing, the sketches that were written by Marty Feldman, they had to find a way to get around the censors because the censors said, "Oh no, you cannot have openly gay characters on the air." You would say, "Cannot have them at all." But Marty Feldman was very smart, and he decided to involve something called Polari, which was a language, of course. Well, how would I describe it? It was a language spoken by, of course, gay men in London at a certain period of time, so they could identify who was who when it was illegal still in Britain. Now, these two characters, Julian and Sandy, even today, are considered two classic British comedic characters. And they were played delightfully well by the great Kenneth Williams and Hugh Paddock. Here they are with a sketch in called Keep Britain Bona.
Now, elections are cropping up all the time, but one that escaped notice was in my area. The usual parties were represented, Labour, Conservative and Liberal, but there was one party I'd never heard of before. And the slogan on their posters read, "Keep Britain Bona." And I decided to find out more about them, so I popped down to their party headquarters. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello! Yes, we are the Universal Party, so-called because we're at it right, left and centre. Yes, shake hands with your prospective member. Shake hands. That's in.
That's me, Mr. Horn.
You, Julian?
Yes, I stand behind the working man.
And I stand behind the I stand behind Jewel. I'm his campaign manager.
Oh. He's an old campaigner, Mr.
Yeah. You don't tell no lies.
No. Now, why have you formed your own party?
That's a good question.
We couldn't see eye to eye with the other major parties. No. We left the Labour Party because we disagreed with the prescription charges.
And we fell out with the Conservatives because blue isn't our colour.
Oh, our colour. No. Makes me right washed out.
It makes him look washed out. Oh. Yes, we didn't like the colour of their favours, so then we was liberal with our favours for a while.
Yes.
Then we felt personally betrayed by the action of our liberal member.
Oh. What did he do?
Oh, I can't bring myself to say it, Mr. Horn.
Oh.
He should I tell him? He went and got married.
Oh! Don't carry on,
well,
Jewel.
I can't help it.
Jewel, pull yourself together. It's to no avail.
Disaster.
Pull yourself together. What's done is done.
Well.
Now blow your nose on your rosette.
So then we thought they've all let us down, so it's time for a change.
So we changed?
Yes. We formed our own party.
And what's your policy?
Well, we have a three-pronged manifesto.
We have, Mr. Horn. No, we have. Three distinct prongs it's got.
Yes.
Yeah, show him, Jewel. Get out your manifesto.
Oh, yes. Mm. Well, our points are these.
Mm.
One, double the building programme so there's lattice for all.
Lattice for all!
Lattice for all.
Lovely. Remove the American missiles from our shores.
Oh, yes. American. Particularly that one, that, what's it called? That Polari. That's
that Polari, yeah. Yes. Our third prong, free crow's feet cream for all.
Yes. Irrespective of race, creed or sex.
There, that's your incentive boner.
And what about old age pensions?
Don't you worry, Mr. Orndack, we'll see you all right.
Oh.
Make special provision for the over 60s.
But the smaller sizes won't be left out now, either.
I think I can confidently say that I expect a huge poll.
Mm, his name's Vladimir, always pops round. Always pops round of a Wednesday evening,
yes,
he
old
does.
Friend of Gordon's. Mm,
Gordon,
was.
Yes, Gordon's his friend. To you, Jewel, got your election address?
Yes, care of the Marine Commando Club.
No, no, not that you're silly prospective member.
Oh, sorry.
Your speech, you know, your Polari, with which you're going to sweep the hustings.
Yes.
I can't bear an unswept husting. Now, go on, Jewel, get on your box.
Right.
Not that one, dear, your soapbox.
Right. I don't like.
Go on, he's shy with crowds, Miss Drawn.
Right.
Go on, imagine you're in front of a great ignorant rabble.
Shall I?
Mm, be good practice for you when you go on the Simon D show. Now, you heckle him if you want to, Miss Drawn.
Right, thank you.
There, ready, Jewel? Ready?
Yes.
Miss Drawn, you're about to hear his maiden speech. Go on, love.
Go on.
Homies and Polones of this borough.
That's lovely. Oh, lovely.
We are poised at a moment in history.
Lovely.
The future could be naff.
Naff.
Or it could be boner.
Boner.
The time has come for a frank and honest Varda at our awkward position.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I am questing after this seat. For the good of my fellow homies. Let us not mince.
Have you taken leave of your
seat? I haven't finished. Let us not mince words.
Oh. Oh.
Let us put our best lally forward. And with our eeks shining with hope, troll together towards the fantabulosa futurette.
Bravo, Jewel!
Yes.
I'm right behind you. We'll go all the way with Jewel.
Well, if you are, will you drop me at Wimbledon Common? I can get a bus.
And now, let us raise our voices and sing the party song.
Man, clear me through. The party's flag is deep as puce, with fleur-de-lis in pale chartreuse. Both working home and nouveau riche will find our programme very chic.
We'll do our best for young and old.
Our party line is very bold.
Let's mince together, hand in hand. We'll make Great Britain fairyland.
The fantastic Kenneth Williams and Hugh Paddock with one of their sketches from the BBC radio series Round the Horn that was written by Barry Cryer and Marty Feldman. Now, we only have a few minutes left, and next actually is a comedy troupe that we have played on the program before, and I decided to choose one sketch from them today on this edition of Happy Station, Happy Having a Laugh and a Giggle at some wonderful classic comedy moments from the last, well, many years, actually. It is a sketch that was written by Michael Palin and John Cleese for Monty Python's Flying Circus. And no, you may be thinking it's the parrot sketch, which, yes, it is funny, but there's one actually that's even, was actually one of my favorite, even more so than the parrot sketch, the cheese shop.
I was sitting in the public library in Sherman Street just now, skimming through Rogue Harry's by Horace Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, eh?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yabberall, only like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell, so I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my wall-polling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some cheesy comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some cheese!
Ah! I thought you were complaining about the music.
Oh, heaven forbid, I'm one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
I like a nice dance, you force to.
Anyway, who said that?
Oh, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicesters, eh?
Never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish, tish. No matter. Well, 4 ounces of kefili, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it? Bel Paese?
Sorry.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. But today the van broke down.
Ah. Stilton?
Sorry.
Gruyere? Emmental?
No.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger?
No.
Liptauer?
No.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Danish Blue?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vinny?
No.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont l'Evêque, Port-Salut, Savoy, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Boursin, Brest Bleu, Pelle de Champagne, Camembert.
Ah, we do have some Camembert.
You do? Excellent.
It's a bit runny, sir.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very runny, sir.
No matter, no matter. Hand over la fromage de la belle France qui s'appelle Camembert, s'il vous plaît.
I think it's runnier than you'll like it, sir.
I don't care how excrementally runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Yes, sir. Oh!
What?
The cat's eaten it.
Fazzy.
She, sir.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some cheese, do you?
Oh, certainly, sir. It's a cheese shop, sir. We've got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Winsleydale?
Yes, sir?
Splendid! Well, I'll have some of that then, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were referring to me. Mr. Winsleydale.
Gorgonzola?
No.
Parmesan?
No.
Mozzarella?
No.
Pippo creme?
No.
Any Danish Finbo?
No.
Czechoslovakian sheep's milk cheese?
No.
Venezuelan beaver cheese?
Not today, sir, no.
Well, let's keep it simple. How about cheddar?
Well, I'm afraid we don't get much call for it round these parts, sir.
Much call? It's the single most popular cheese in the world.
Not round these parts, sir.
And pray, what is the most popular cheese round these parts?
Ilchester, sir.
I see.
Yes, sir, it's quite staggeringly popular in the manor, Squire.
Is it?
Yes, sir, it's our number one seller.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Ilchester, eh?
Right.
Okay, I'm game. Have you got any, he asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir. No.
It's not much of a cheese shop, really, is it?
Finest in the district, sir.
And what leads you to that conclusion?
Well, it's so clean.
Well, it's certainly uncontaminated by cheese.
You haven't asked me about Limburger, sir.
Is it worth it?
Could be.
Okay. Have you...
Will you shut that bloody dancing up?
I told you so.
Have you got any Limburger?
No.
No, that figures. No, it's pretty predictable, really. It was an act of pure optimism to pose the question in the first place. Tell me something. Do you have any cheese at all?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you that question once more. And if you say no, I'm going to shoot you through the head. Now, do you have any cheese at all?
No.
What a senseless waste of human life.
The Cheese Shop from Monty Python's Flying Circus, there performed by John Cleese and Michael Palin. Well, we actually hope you enjoyed our little laughable show today. I know that sounds different than probably what it meant to be, but yes, it is a laughable show. We wanted to have a bit of a laugh today, a bit of a laugh for the month of April on this program for the 22nd of April. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, our email is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. We're going to leave you today with one of Britain's most famous television exports. It was, and still is today, by the amount of places that the program was sold. It's Benny Hill, with a song, actually, that became a hit for his. Actually, he had a few hits in the 1960s, but this is one from the early 1970s, which became an accidental hit. It was a little number called Ernie, the Fastest Milkman in the West. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
You could hear the hoofbeats pound as they raced across the ground, and the clatter of the wheels as they spun round and round. And he galloped into Market Street, his badge upon his chest. His name was Ernie, and he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie loved a widow, a lady known as Sue. She lived all alone in Lily Lane at number 22. They said she was too good for him. She was haughty, proud and chic. But Ernie got his cocoa there 3 times every week. They called him Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. She said she'd like to bathe in milk. He said, all right, sweetheart. And when he'd finished work one night, he loaded up the cart. He said, you want it pasteurized, cause pasteurized is best. She says, Ernie, I'll be happy if it comes up to me chest. That tickled old Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie had a rival, an evil-looking man called Two-Ton Ted from Teddington, and he drove the baker's van. He tempted her with his treacle tarts and his tasty oatmeal bread, and when she seen the size of his hot meat pies, it very near turned her head. She nearly swooned at his macaroon, and he said, now if you treat me right, you'll have hot rolls every morning and crumpets every night. He knew once she sampled his layer cake, he'd have his wicked way, and all Ernie had to offer was a pint of milk a day. Poor Ernie!
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. One lunchtime, Ted saw Ernie's awesome cart outside her door. He drove him mad to find it was still there at 4:30. And as he leapt down from his van, off blood through his veins did course, and he went across to Ernie's cart, and he didn't half kick his horse, whose name was Trigger.
Trigger!
And he pulled the fastest milk cart in the West. Now Ernie rushed out into the street, his gold top in his hand. He said, if you want to marry Susie, you fight for her like a man. Oh, why don't we play cards for her, he sneeringly replied. And just to make it interesting, we'll have a shilling on the side. Now Ernie dragged him from his van, and beneath the blazing sun, they stood there face to face, and Ted went for his bun. But Ernie was too quick, things didn't go the way Ted planned, and a strawberry-flavoured yoghurt sent it spinning from his hand. Now Sushi ran between them and tried to keep them apart, and Ernie pushed her aside, and a rock cake caught him under his heart. And he looked up in pained surprise, and the concrete hardened crust of a stale pork pie caught him in the eye, and Ernie bit the dust. Poor Ernie!
Ernie!
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Ernie was only 52. He didn't want to die. And now he's gone to make deliveries in that milk round in the sky, where the customers are angels and ferocious dogs are banned. And a milkman's life is full of fun in that fairy dairy land. But a woman's needs are manifold. And Sue, she married Ted. But strange things happened on their wedding night as they lay in their bed. Was that the trees a-rustling or the hinges of the gate? Or Ernie's ghostly gold tops a-rattling in their crate? They won't forget Ernie.